lie on your back. And travel with your attention from the bottom of your tailbone, wherever you think that is, just upward along your middle. Why or with what kind of intention? To first of all find what it is to trace the middle, to find a middle. And then some places the middle will touch the ground, in some places it will not touch the ground, but you, nevertheless, you just kind of proceed upward and do it fairly quickly in a way that you get the sense of the length or the distance from the bottom, starting at the tailbone, upward through the lower back, through kind of below the bra strap, then in the part of the back, again, that touches the floor, the middle back, up through the upper back, the neck, and to the top of the head. So the line is something that orients you to where your middle is, or whether you have a clear sense of your middle, and orients you to the distance of you, or the length of you, coming from the tailbone up to the top of the head. So that's kind of one direction or one line. And then at the very bottom, a little bit higher than the very bottom of that, of the line, higher than the tailbone, is a place where the two legs might connect, the two hip joints. So they don't connect into the spine, not directly. But you can touch in the front where your, think your hip joint might be. It's in the groin. And then kind of drop a line backwards. So somewhere in the buttock would be the place where the leg starts from above. And again, travel downward. Choose one leg and travel downward from that place somewhere in the back of the buttock, down through the thigh, behind the knee, through the lower leg to the heel. Middle, not middle of the leg. That's maybe a little different to investigate than the middle of the trunk, but what is the length? What's the distance between somewhere deep in the buttock and down through one leg, as compared to somewhere deep in the buttock, on the other buttock, or in the other buttock, and down the other leg? You were to represent yourself with just these simple lines of direction. Where would the line start? How long would the line be? Where would the line stop? And then one more time, go up the middle line. So somewhere from the end of the tailbone upward. And in the upper back region, so somewhere at the base of the neck, if you're wearing a t-shirt, right, that's not cut out too much, and then where would the top of the t-shirt in the back be and touch? You can feel for those parts with your hand if you'd like. Or if you know you have a sense from inside that you can get there, do that. And from that middle point in the spine, draw a path. Maybe it's not a line, maybe it's a path. Maybe it's broader than a thin line to one shoulder. And then from the shoulder joint down to the elbow, from the elbow to the wrist to the hand. And of course, from that same region in the upper back to the other shoulder, the shoulder to the elbow to the wrist to the hand, first to just travel. When we think of our arms, we rarely think of them from as far inward as this middle line. Maybe we think of the arms from the shoulder joint, like where you have a seam on the t-shirt, where the sleeve is attached to the main body. Maybe include the shoulder blade, but to include really from the spine. And if it's something that has occurred to you or can be done easily, you can compare the two directions, because you're always starting from the middle of yourself, from the spine, and drawing or at least somehow traveling with your attention. You might have a sense of drawing or just traveling with your attention. One may be clearer than the other, or obviously longer or wider. And then again, return to the one line that's in the middle from the tailbone upward. Just like a whoosh of attention. And then the two lines that whoosh through your legs, starting in the hip joints, deep in the buttocks behind. And if you know that where your sacrum is, then you can start the lines of the legs, not just from the hip joints, but from the sacrum, which is narrower than the hip joints, and connects the legs to the spine, since the sacrum is part of the pelvis and part of the spine. And then whoosh again with your attention through the arms. And roll your head from side to side to observe an action that you often do at the beginning of a session, beginning of a self-investigation. Noting any differences from rolling to one side to the other in terms of the smoothness of the rolling or the ground being uphill one way and downhill the other, or head being bumpy or smooth. Okay. Now let your head come to a rest and then roll to your lie on your front with for the moment your arms any way that you'd like. But I'll give you some suggestions if you wouldn't even know what like means. So you can have the left arm, because you're put your head so that your left ear is on the floor, so you're looking to the right. And both arms can be up, meaning on the hands would be on either side of your head, one behind and one in front. So the hands are not under the head, it's not for lifting. Or you could have this really is a problem. If it's not a problem, stay like that. If it's a problem, then put the left arm long down, and maybe later it'd be possible to bring the left arm upward. But if it's possible to leave it up, do. And bend your knees so your feet are pointing to the ceiling, and bring your knees and feet close, not to where you have to strain to hold them together, but we're more or less there, as close as is possible. And let both legs go down to the floor on your left, and bring them back to the middle. And if the two legs are softly together, as if they're kind of tied with a soft silk scarf, perhaps at the ankles and at the knees, at what point does the right knee lift from the floor? And note, of course, how the pressure changes in the front, over your belly, over the ribs, below the breasts, And as you bring the legs to the left, do you inhale or do you exhale? Let's just make it soft so you can experiment with inhaling or exhaling. Does the movement have a resonance? Does it show up somewhere through the shoulders, through the head? Okay, and leave it, and turn on your back. Just roll to your back. And roll to your stomach again, with your head still turned in the same direction, so your left side of your face or ear is on the floor, the two arms are upward, the elbows are on the floor. And how is it, what are the sensations through your neck? Is it easy to have to be lying like this with your head turned? If there's strain, where is it? Is it in the neck? And if so, is it on the left side or on the right side? Or both? Head is quite turned when we're lying on the belly. And put your elbows in the air now so that your hands are as if you were going to push with them. And bend your knees, put your legs together, and do the same tilting of your legs to the left. And still you roll to the left, on the pelvis, on the ribs. And what difference does this different position of the arms make? Does it change anything of what you can sense in the middle or upper back, or through the shoulders? And do you notice if you push at all with the right hand? And just to notice, not to change it, unless you want to experiment with, I'm not. What would it be like if I did? Or I am. What would it be like if I didn't? And leave that and rest on your back. Not used to leaning on our hands or pushing with them, so in the beginning it's a good idea not to stay in that demand, not to demand that from yourself for any length of time. But as you lie, you can check, notice how it feels to be against the floor, and whether any of these directions, any of these lines of attention or whooshes of attention are different. And then before, from the bottom of the tailbone up through the head, or each of the arms from the base of the neck, from the spine outward, or from the buttocks or sacrum, if you have that knowledge of where that is, down through each leg. Roll to your belly again. head still turned so that you're resting more on the left side of the face. The arms, so the elbows are in the air, the knees bend, the legs more or less softly together. And as you tilt your legs to the left again, when they go to the left, let them separate a little bit so that the right leg can, it can just keep going. I'll talk you through it. So the whole leg would separate as you go to the left. So the knee can, the right knee can lift off of the left knee. The right leg becomes independent and it actually can go a little bit further behind you. A little bit further behind you. That's it. But a little bit. And every time, and then come onto the belly again. So it's not a position, it's a direction. So it's starting again with your knees bent, your feet in the air. And as you tilt your legs to the right, you can let the right leg separate and go ahead a little bit and come back to the middle. And every time you do that, you push a little bit more with the right hand and at some point actually see if that can push with the hand will let you lift your head and look a little bit over the right shoulder as if to spiral and look after the right heel. That's it. And is it possible to keep the left hand on the floor and the left elbow in the air? How did it get to the floor? You kind of looked surprised that it was on the floor. Something different will need to happen within the chest itself and the spine, between the shoulder blade, within the chest itself. That's it. And just observe the pressure of the right hand and its relation to your ability to look in the direction of the right leg. And the right leg, staying with the knee as much bent as possible. That's it. And of course, the right elbow begins to straighten. And at some point, it might be that the left elbow also straightens somewhat, perhaps not as much as the right one. Okay, and take a pause on your belly. With your head still turned to look to the right, put the two hands as if for pushing, bend your knees, bring your legs together. And as you, it's the same, nothing new will be added other than, no new movement, other than listening to the quality, the effort. In the beginning when we learn something new and to coordinate, we tend to put too much effort in, so that's fine, but now what to pay attention to diminish effort? What to pay attention to? Breath is useful, so the right leg continues. That's right. The whole trunk actually begins to lift, doesn't it? Do you exhale? Do you stop the breath? Do you exhale as you come up and inhale as you go down? Do you exhale as you come up and then pause in the almost sitting position and inhale there and then exhale as you go down again? But find a way of using the legs, pelvis, the arms, the turning of the head that requires less and less work, that is lighter, smoother. And perhaps you find that you start thinking of that right leg going ahead almost immediately. Maybe the right leg separates almost immediately, even as the left leg continues to tilt. Maybe yes, maybe not. Yeah. Is there a way in which the right leg, if it's a bit more independent right from the beginning, moves rather, seems like it moves a bit more quickly than the rest of you? You don't have to do it because it's already actually happening. Good. Leave it, please. Roll to your back. Is any of the lengths adjusted to some different sense? If you roll your head from side to side, is there a different smoothness or ease in one direction as compared to the other? Or in both directions as compared to earlier? And let your head come to the middle. Roll to your belly again. Still the same, so nose is looking to the right, eyes looking to the right, the hands in support position, the knees bent. And imagine, don't do anything, but just imagine yourself doing this and the legs going to the left, the right leg overtaking the left leg fairly soon. Can you picture clearly the rolling and other dimensions of what your pelvis does? And what does your right hand do? Does it push right away? Does it push less when you are clear about the leg? And then a few times, take the legs to the left, let the right overtake. That's it. And see if imagining even a few movements without meeting any of the restrictions or difficulties, whether this made a difference in the action. And as your right arm straightens, right arm straightens, the left arm more or less straightens so that you become less horizontal and begin to be more upright. Could you imagine a moment where you would turn so that the right hand would not even be needed anymore and could come away from the floor? And when it came away from the floor, it could swing a little bit to the right. And then you would swing your arm forward again, bring the right hand to the floor, and use it to support yourself to come on your belly. So find out, what is the moment where you tilt the legs, swing, the pelvis comes up, where the right arm is no longer needed, and in fact can swing to the right, and then bring you even more to be sitting, facing forward. And if at any moment your right arm feels no longer necessary, it too could swing. But what does that mean if the left arm no longer feels necessary? It means that somehow all the support, it could, not in this direction, maybe the other direction. Right? Most of us haven't sat like that in a long time, so continue to need the left arm. Or maybe just bring it, maybe you don't have to swing it all the way, you can just bring it a little bit more away from the original position and lean on your left hand closer to your pelvis, closer to the left side of your pelvis. You can still have some support with your left hand. Okay, go back onto the front. Oh, no challenges come up. What the heck do I do with the ankles? So feel free to pause a moment, imagine, and then return to actually bend your knees and come up to that. So you look for, what do you look for, right? What do you look for in terms of a quality? That somehow the weight of the legs, but also the speed of the right leg going, that's it. Just kind of spirals through. You can come up to sit and go immediately back down, so you don't have to hold yourself in sitting. Okay? Don't feel at all obligated to hold yourself in sitting, because you know that momentarily I'll ask you to roll to your front again. There you go. That's it. Isn't that a lot more fun? You just swing, come up to sitting, and then the arms just swing right back. So the arms, you never hold. You just, like a twirly thing that twirls to the right and then twirls to the left. Lovely. And can you find a way to make that lighter? How about the speed of the right leg? Speed of the right leg, that it just goes shroom. And everything else follows not at the same speed, but the leg quickly takes the pelvis, and then the pelvis takes the chest takes the arms, and the turn takes the head. You look over to the right, and don't stay there, just go right onto the belly and then leave it and roll to your back. Does one leg, does one line of leg feel longer than the other? Or clearer? Or one of the two arms from the base of the neck outward and downward? Or the length that more or less is along your spine in the middle, from the tailbone upward through the head. Perhaps some other parts of this have captured your attention, and that is perhaps even more vivid for you and more vital. If you roll your head again from side to side, sit. Improving in one direction or in no direction or both directions. How do you know that there is improvement? Not that you're going to be asked to give a verbal list, but just mostly to point out that when there is improvement within us, we know. We don't need someone to tell us. We don't need someone to measure us. We just know that this experience is preferable to previous experience. And we have immediate feedback. If you did too much, too quickly, without enough attention, the immediate feedback is, ooh, I don't like the way my head rolls now. It was better before. We don't need to be measured. We don't need to be approved of. We know. Our brain is equipped to fundamentally provide us with the capacity to assess like, not like, want, not want. Pretty good. And the criteria don't have to be learned. They're, we develop a acuity to sense them. We develop the capacity to read the clues that are, or cues, I should say, that are there. And when you roll to your belly, would you now turn your head in the other direction? And first, keep the, or actually, you know what, let's do this. Take it one more time with leaning on the left side of the face, but with the elbows on the ground. Bend your knees, just as we compare to the very beginning. And the legs are more or less together. And see how it is to tilt your legs to the right without using the pushing up of the arms. Whether the turning is more clearly felt or identified up above the waist, in the spine, below the shoulder blades, between the shoulder blades. That's it. Okay. Leave that and just turn your head so that you're looking to the right, bend your knees, and still with the elbows on the floor, tilt your legs to the right. And from having listened to yourself consecutively now and deeply, can you already distinguish more of a quality that you want? This is how I want to move. There would be no concern with the directions, the orientation, so it's just the same in the other direction. Do you already listen how you roll over your belly, how you roll over the ribs, how you feel more contact and on which side of the chest? You feel as you tilt your legs to the right that there's a kind of a lengthening that goes from the notch of the throat, that means the very upper part of the breastbone, all the way down the front of you, over the breastbone, between the breasts, over the belly, over the lower belly to the pubic bone, or over the parts of the belly that are wider from the middle, in other words, over the front of the groins, and then down the right thigh, the front of the right thigh to the knee. You keep more components of this, both in what you're doing and how you're doing, and what little changes of angle of the way your legs tilt, little changes how you let the shoulders be soft, let the front of the chest be soft, how you let the whole trunk roll away from the left elbow. Good, leave it and roll to your back. You continue to observe the front of your middle, not in a line, but in a kind of a broader band, like a wide ribbon from the pubic bone up the middle of the lower belly, kind of to each side, encompassing your belly button, going up either under or between your breasts and all the way up underneath the collarbones. And observe perhaps any movements that are happening when you breathe in, when you breathe out. And that band in the front is really just the beginning. And it's a part of the wide belly, the wide chest, the sides of you, the back of you. And the more time we spend listening to ourselves, the more we're able to highlight in our attention particular parts or particular relationships, but they're not separate from our whole. So that listening to the middle of the front of yourself is not separate from the legs being there and the two lengths of the legs, from the length of the line, from the sacrum upward along the back to the head. Not separate from the air moving into your nostrils, the roof of your mouth, the lips, the back of the tongue, wherever that really is the backest part of the back of the tongue. The scalp behind and above the ears. And would you roll to your belly again? With your head turned to the left, so the right side of your face is on the floor and the elbows are in the air now. So the arms are comfortably somewhere, so any disturbance in the shoulders or in the neck will require more attention to where one hand is placed and where the other hand is placed. And bring your knees, bring the knees and feet softly together and this change from being so supported in the front, the floor, to coming more into a vertical position. As you tilt the legs, right, there's the weight of the legs, the direction of the legs, the separating of the left leg now, a little bit, from the right one, but not straightening the knee. And at the same time, thinking already of looking over the left shoulder and pushing a little bit with the left hand so that the left elbow obviously straightens. And the right elbow stays in the air. But what is the relationship between the weight and the swing of the left leg? The moment of looking over or into, you know, more or less over the left shoulder. The push with the left hand. And the length, there's a length along the whole front, from the notch of the throat, along the front, through the belly, across the front of the right hip joint. Yeah, and when you find a way to bring all those elements together so that it's like felt. You just feel, ooh, that time I pushed more. I pushed before I had to. I think I pushed before I had to. So can I tilt? How about using just the weight of the legs? Using the weight of the two legs going to the right, or the weight of the right leg. Right, the weight of the right leg. And is it possible that the left leg moves quickly, but you don't push abruptly with the left hand? So that the leg at some moment begins to move quickly, but everything else just follows a bit more slowly. Even if it means that you don't really quite, there you go. That's it. Yeah. Smile comes over your face and I can breathe more easily, so we could both benefit. And the next step of learning is with staying true to listening to the sensations rather than following the idea of what you think it should be in your head. It's like we need the idea, but it has to be constantly directed by sensation. So the thinking informs the sensorial search. So the weight of the legs tilts, the left leg at some point goes more quickly, but then the trunk comes up, right, and it takes the left arm with you. And if you want, you can find whether the turn is enough to bring both arms, whether the support is clear enough through your pelvis to be able to do that. You can't probably shouldn't take both arms away if the support isn't clear through how it is that you sit. And a half-supported sit is good as well. Can you look over the shoulder at some point? Yeah. Leave it. Next time you're on your belly, roll to your side. And observe, rest. Roll to your front again. Turn so that your right ear is on the floor as you're looking to the left. Of course, the hands are in the same situation with the elbows in the air. Bend your knees, bring your feet to the ceiling. And now, as you take your legs to the side, think of the leg going really fast and everything else just following really slowly. Yeah, take your time. You may not come all the way up to sit right away. Yeah. And then next time you're on your belly, turn your head the other way. Turn your head the other way when you come to the belly and come up by tilting your legs to the left. So now you're facing to the right. Tilt your legs to the left. Let the right leg now swing quickly. And really have the sense that the upper body is just going to follow or not follow, but it can go very slowly. Gives pause, doesn't it? Gives pause to sort of sort it out in your image and in your thinking before you do it. Can't do it thoughtlessly or mindlessly, right? Picture how the flick of a leg, but then there must be some law of physics that describes that, where the beginning is fast and the rest is sort of like a, I don't want to call it a dampening, it's just that the force is, could you go from side to side? Not yet. Maybe it makes sense. Maybe it makes sense to go from side to side without really pausing in the middle. Just rolling over the belly, and the head doesn't, of course, have to go. The head doesn't even have to touch. It's fine as long as you know when it's unsatisfactory or satisfactory, right? And what is the role of your head? what does looking in the direction in which you're going and when have to do with being able to more clearly, that's it, sit on some part of the pelvis. Maybe it's not the back of the pelvis. Maybe you're, I mean, not on the bottom of the pelvis. Maybe you're more on the side of the pelvis in one direction. And which part of yourself do you roll over? Is it the, when you go onto your belly again? Do you have to go all the way onto which? Can you just roll over the lower part of the belly and not become so amphibian? How high can your head stay when you're rolling over your belly? So what's the path, the necessary path of the head from sitting up to one side to sitting up to the other side? Oh, you like to bring it all the way down to the floor, don't you? Have a rest on your back. Have a rest on your back. Could you establish or imagine the five directions from the bottom of the spine? Upward, a whoosh of attention. Two directions from the buttocks, from the sacrum, downward to each leg. And two from the base of the neck, across and then down the arms. Is it possible to hold more of that simple image of yourself in your mind's eye now? And would you come up to sit with your legs to one side? So whichever way you'd like. Two knees in one direction and the 2 feet obviously in the other way. You can support yourself with one hand or both. And from there, can you go over your belly to sit up on the other side, but lying down as little as possible? Which means that your elbows would not bend all the way, possibly. Oh, but you still use the same way as we did before. That you sit to one side, right? You sit to one side, and you roll over the belly. Yeah, you have to swing the arms so that, let's say, if you're sitting with your knees to the left and your feet to the right. Yeah, your left arm will have to swing to where you want it, where it would have been originally when we started this movement from lying on the belly. If that left arm is too far forward, if you will, then it's going to be hard. And just what is the minimal amount of belly that you need to bring? Oh, and roll on your belly. It's fine to be on the belly. Don't go on the knees. Go on the belly. But don't bump your nose on the floor. Keep your head up as if you're not sure that it's safe to look at something. Look at something all the time. Yes, there you go. You see? Yeah? Your head is at least a few inches from the floor, and it's really not your chest that you roll on now so much, right? It's more the belly. So, imagine it before you do it again. Just keep sitting up and just imagine how you would roll over the lower belly and the upper belly, and the chest would stay more, the shoulders would stay further away from the floor. Yes, ma'am, there you go. Excellent. Something then has to happen over the front of the hip joints.
Otherwise, why bother with this in the last moment? Yes, lovely, great, beautiful. Lie on your back. Lie on your back. Have any of these distances become longer? Or in the shoulders, maybe it's not that the arms have become longer, but is there a sense that something became a bit wider from the middle of the spine outwardly? Or clearer? Or, alternatively, that the five distinctions become less interesting as the whole somehow speaks to you through sensations that have nothing to do with the ones that were set up for you. And note how your breathing feels. Comes in and out through the nostrils and how the chest moves in. The many directions that it can, but often does not, front and back, sideways through the ribs at the breast or even higher up at the in the armpits, or upward. The ribs move, they angle themselves a bit in such a way that as they expand sideways, there's an upward motion, and maybe that's detectable. And maybe the upward is balanced with the downward to the belly and into your bowels even. Or down even through to the front of the groins that you just rolled over so clearly. Is it possible to, without disturbing all these aspects of your breathing, to roll your head from side to side? And it may be that in the moments where something becomes a little bit less smooth in the rolling, or your attention jumps, that there's a change in your breath as well. Breath is so deeply tied to a continuum of movement. And what improves the continuum, the ongoing smoothness of movement, is a continuum of attention and a continuum of attention to breath as well as to the movement. Yeah. And if there's any place in that continuum that the movement jumps or the attention jumps, you can spend time just within that range, to um,
give your attention time to soak itself into the part that usually is absent from, the part of time, the part of space, the part of direction, the part of movement. And when we reincorporate not just places inside ourselves, but continuums of attention and range of movement, then once we move into stillness and the head comes to a resting place, we feel ourselves differently even in that stillness without the movement. And it's not just that parts feel different, but we feel ourselves differently, as if it's like you can have a dream where you discover that there's a room in your house that you haven't been using. It changes more than just the room. It changes the whole ability to expand yourself. And it's like that with areas and particular aspects of movement. If we really re-inhabit them, literally, it changes how we move within the all of ourselves. Might even change the timing of breath. And any time you would like, you can even just open your eyes, even open your eyes and see whether the attention to breath can continue, the attention to your self breathing can continue, the attention to yourself breathing. Attention to breath makes it sound as though it's a separate. It's not. It's not attention to breath. It's attention to yourself. And of course, then you can close your eyes and find whether there's some way in which the opening took you out of yourself. And it may or may not be possible or likely to stay as inwardly linked with the eyes open as eye closed, but it's again another continuum to explore. And it is a huge continuum, because once it's possible to stay more linked with the eyes open, the next task or the next possibility presents itself, which is it possible to begin to roll to one side in preparation for coming up to sit while linked to oneself, including breathing? Life is, I think, you know, life is endless until it stops. So, possibilities of what we can notice are endless, and at some point we come to stand. Find how the arrival is into really the vertical. How the shoulders are supported, how the arms hang, where the head is. And if you find it interesting, you can revisit at least the line of the, or the direction from the bottom of the spine upward to the head. If not, all five.